I want to go to, if we can, back to 1 John and resume there and where we had left off many months ago, 2-3 months ago, whenever it was, I think March, this being May. And I do ask for your prayers, but we review this that we'll understand why the Holy Spirit is moving John pen this letter. Now, before I begin, let's consider the time. This is in the last of the days of the apostles. The apostle John, who kept the Lord's mother, is the last of the apostles. All the gifts of the apostles had passed away with the apostles. There was no more gifts of healing, raising the dead. The purpose of speaking in tongues was completed. That bit was given, as you read in Acts, that they could hear in their own tongue and understand. It was also given as a sign to non-believers. And those non-believers were the Jews, for God had told them in Isaiah that He would speak to them with men of other tongues, and they still would not understand because they would not receive it. The Word of God is truth, even though He preached to them in their own tongue. In that day. But all those things were coming to an end. John is the last apostle. And as John is preparing these dear people, some say it was written to Ephesus, where John pastored. The Word of God is written to every born-again child of God. Matthew chapter 1 tells us who it's written to, the generation of Jesus Christ, those that Christ hath given life, those who are born of the Spirit, those that have an unction from the Holy One, those that understand the Word of God because God has loved them, chose them, saved them, and revealed unto them His Son, Jesus Christ, who has manifested the Father. God was manifest in the flesh, the man Jesus Christ. John began this because they were beginning to face persecution. There's always been persecution. They hate Christ, therefore they hate us. They persecuted us. We've already talked about the first century church in the books of Acts in such a time of turmoil that men, God's children, burned at the stake, beheaded, the horrible things that were done to them. John is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, not about necessarily persecution and tribulation, but the most important thing we have in the church that God has established in Jesus Christ. It is His. And that is true doctrine. John began in chapter 1 telling them about that which was from the beginning, speaking of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, by whom He created all the worlds. All the things that are created were created by Him. I've preached that 3 or 4 times the last couple of months, going from Genesis 1 to 12. We've already been through some of this. He talked about God being manifest in the flesh, that is in Christ. For God is a spirit, He cannot be seen. God is manifested to us in Christ. The power of God, the wisdom of God manifested to us in the man Jesus Christ, bearing the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. He said, we're declaring unto you these things. He gave us the truth that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And we know and understand by the Scripture that we were in darkness of our nature. Adam was driven from the presence of God. God is light. Therefore, Adam was in darkness and Adam was dead in trespass and sin. God is light. If we have light, understand this simple truth of doctrine. If we have light, we are born of God, and we are, if we are born of God, we are in possession of eternal life. For Jesus said, he that believeth on me shall never die. And he said in another place that they who believe on him have passed from death unto life. Yes, the body will be laid down in death for the wages of sin, but the soul does not die. It is immortal. It stands with Christ above, as we both, Steve and I, tried to preach last week on the resurrection of the dead. He said, we're all sinners. We have a covering for our sin. Just as the mercy seat showed us a covering, Christ is our propitiation. He's our mercy seat. The blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. The blood of Christ has saved who? His people. Matthew 1:21. For he shall save his possessive, his people from their, not his, he has no sin, from their sins, plural, each and every one, past, present, and future. Sins. Period. He covers our sins. We know that we know him if we love him. If we love the brotherhood. We're commanded to love the brotherhood. We're not in darkness anymore. We're in light. John told us why he wrote unto us, because we have, the fathers have known all things from the beginning of the gospel, preached unto them, because young men were hearing the gospel, because you're all saved in Jesus Christ. And I'll start reading in verse 15. This is where we left off the last time we spoke. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is not speaking of things created of God necessarily as nature. This is speaking of the things that come from man's heart, from man's doctrine, from every wind of doctrine. That's what this book is about. Because this is the day of the last living apostle things. Remember where Paul said that upon his departing, grievous wolves would enter the flock. There were grievous wolves coming. There were some already there, and they were certainly coming, and they're still here today. This book is about doctrine. That's why in 2 John, John's going to tell us to try to hold on to the things that we have. In John chapter, the third John, the small little letter, is all about love. Love of each other. These are the things that God hath given us. He that loveth is born of God, for God is love. He said, I've written, love not the world. And he's going to tell us what they are in just a minute. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, if he loves the nature of sin and death and what God has taken us from, he is not of the Father. That's plain. He's reprobate. Now, there are children of God that have not yet been born of the Spirit. This is not talking about them. Rightly divide the word of truth. But there will be people who live in this world that God leaves in their own sin, nature. They are not of the Father. It's of the world. It's of Satan, the prince, the power of the air. The world passes away. The lust of the world, flesh, power, greed, fame. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Why do you do the will of God? Back up to the beginning of chapter 2. Because Christ is in you, God hath placed himself within you. Your soul is alive in Christ. The body must be laid down because of sin unless you're alive when the Lord returns. But the soul, the spirit, is alive and will never die. Now we begin the text today. Little children, as I said before, it is suggested that this was written to the church at Ephesus, which John pastored, but the Word of God is written to every child of God, so we are children. We're children of God. These people, I do believe many of them were children to John in the Gospel, just as Paul had children in the Gospel. That refers to them, let me say it simply, that refers to God giving them life and God enlightening them. He called them to life by His Spirit, period, in Christ, period, from Christ, period. And yes, from Christ, the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will, from Christ, period. And now He calls them by the gospel, sitting under the sound of the gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. He calls them to walk in obedience. Little children, it is the last time. If we read Scripture, just went through Genesis, this was one purpose that I pray the Spirit of God placed that on my mind, was to go from the beginning up to today, through the stages in the world. I use the word stages, eras, the times. The first time recorded in Scripture was pre-flood. We talked about that in Genesis. God created man good and upright. Sin entered the world by one man, Adam, death by sin. The world had become wicked. Violence, there's the key. Violence filled the earth. Violence. That's why God condemned it. Violence filled the earth. And all the things that men in the nature of sin do to each other. And God would flood the earth and destroy everything which had the breath of life in it except for Noah and those eight souls of the promised seed. That's the first era. E-R-A, is that how you say that? E-R-R-A, I'm not a speller. The first stage, the first timeline we have in Scripture. Then we have another timeline in Scripture. The timeline when God will repopulate the earth. We went through that in Genesis. With the sons of Noah and the grandsons of Noah. The earth would be replenished. God would call one man. It's His sovereign right. Out of all the descendants of Noah. Who, by the way, was righteous in the eyes of God. And found grace. He would call one man. Abram, exalted one. Changed his name to Abraham, a father of many nations. He would bring forth 12 sons, the patriarchs, the sons of Israel. From there we see them being delivered from Egypt, a type of the depravity of sin. We see God calling Moses. We see those that God chose brought into their own land. We see Joshua, and we see the commandments God gave Moses. What we see is a type of the church today in the sense of being established and God's children being called into it. It is appointed of God. It was appointed to the Israelites to worship God under the law of service. We see David taking the stronghold of Jerusalem when they came into the land. We see God blessing David. We see God blessing Solomon and that kingdom and all that it was and all that God had ordained in the law of service. This is the second era. This is the second timeline in Scripture. And I'm giving you all this because we're living in the last time, okay? And then I'm going to go another way to the last time, which goes right along with it. Everything God gave, we, man, God's chosen, corrupted. And the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law, a Jew. He established His church. He saved His people. Who were they? Those graven upon the hand of God. I remember hearing Brother Ernie preach this. He didn't say, I write your name on my hand. I didn't engrave your name on my hand. I have engraven thee on my hand, or in my hand. Then you go to John 10, with the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, saying, no man plucketh his children out of his hand, verifying what's said in Isaiah, I have graven thee on the palm of my hand. This is the era of grace. Christ has established His church. Christ has blessed His church. The Lord, not the preacher, not the Sunday school, not the TV show, or any other device of corrupt, finite, fickle man, has brought life. Salvation is of the Lord. God adds daily such as should be saved. Period. Period. Now, little children, it is the last time. We are living in the last days in the sense of the three stages, and I'm going to use that word, please forgive me, but I can find no easier way to say it, that God created pre-flood, the time of His calling His people out of the world and natural Israel, and the time we're in today, the church of Christ. The era of grace, not the law, not of sin and death, for a child of God, born of the Spirit, is no longer under the law of sin and death. That takes care of the fulfilling of the first two stages. Today we live in the era of grace. We live in the era of Jesus Christ. As the 118th Psalm says, the day of Christ. That's where we live. And it is the last time in this world. It is the last time. There will not be another time. There's not going to come a time where God is going to rapture some people and then establish His kingdom in the world. The kingdom of Christ is here in the world. Revelation 20 says, blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. From such the second death hath no part. What is the first resurrection? John chapter 5, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This is the first resurrection. The second resurrection is mentioned just a few verses after that. The hour is coming that the they that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I'm going to make this point before leaving that. If you have done good, it is because the Spirit of God is within you. For it is God which worketh in you both the will to do of His good pleasure. I don't get tired of saying that. It is the last time. We're living in the last days. When will Christ return? I don't know. But I go to Revelation, the last words of the Bible. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what we look for. That's what we yearn for. That's what we long for. Every child of God called up into heaven in immortal glory to forever be with the Lord in eternity, something this finite mind cannot even begin to fathom. Little children, God's people, it is the last time. Now here is why John is writing this by the Spirit. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Time out just a minute. I read something, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it's one day this week, people going from the book of Daniel talking about prophecy. One day there's going to be all these things come to pass. I'm going to tell you what Daniel's prophesying about. It was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in a people that were at bondage. They had been in bondage. God would restore the kingdom. They'd never have complete freedom. They'd always be in bondage. But the Son of God, once again, when the fullness of time had come, would establish His kingdom here in this world. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll raise again in 3 days. Everything in Christ is what Daniel prophesies of for the very most part. Ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Whoa. Let's all run around like chickens with their head cut off, hollering, the sky is falling, just like they've been doing in the world for the last 2 months. We're all going to die. If we know the truth of God's word, we ought to look forward to that. Heard one preacher in Florida, his little girl said, "Daddy, what is COVID and what's it going to do?" He said, "Well, honey, either the Lord will bless us and we'll not get it, or we'll get it and get sick and the Lord will make us whole, or else we'll see Jesus. Either way, we win." Plain and simple. You want to go back and see the first Antichrist? Go to Genesis chapter 3. We have spoken about it recent. Satan. How does he attack Eve? With doctrine. Thou shalt not surely die. God had said today, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan adds one word. How many words are added today? I won't call them versions. I'll call them perversions that people write and distribute among God's people because they're led astray and they wish to lead God's people astray because it's like wearing a little ribbon. It's I want to feel good. Get a little fuzzy. Salvation is of the Lord. I cannot save myself. I cannot save you. But when God has quickened and given life and given me an understanding and giving me an earnest desire, I can tell you what little bit that God reveals to me about His precious, holy, righteous Son, Jesus Christ. It is the last time. Antichrist shall come. What does that mean? One or those, more than one, who oppose God and God's purpose. Satan desired to be the second person of the Godhead, the living Word, rebelled against God, added one word to Scripture, and we know what happened from there. 2 Peter. I'm going the wrong way if I'm going to read Peter. That goes toward Jude. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people. He's talking about an old Israel. Why were they led astray? Why did the Pharisees and Sadducees lead God's people astray? Jesus condemned them because they wouldn't enter the kingdom and they would not allow others to enter the kingdom because they taught lies and doctrines of men, of the righteousness of men and cherishing the gold and silver. Do we hear the prosperity gospel today? There's nothing new under the sun. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, there were then, they are now, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Oh, what does can we think about? What did the Pharisees do? Their righteousness brought salvation. What do we hear today? You have to work your way to God. I'm dead, how can I work? You have to choose. I'm dead in sin. How do I choose? I am helpless, guilty, without excuse, and have no way to pay. Denying the Lord Jesus Christ that bought them. We're redeemed. We're bought. We're purchased. And the blood of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, God manifest in the flesh. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious leads... No, that's lasciviousness. I'm sorry. For shall follow their pernicious ways destruction, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They're going to preach lies to you. They're going to preach destructive doctrine. What is John teaching those people in 1 John? I'm going here to tell you about the Lord. I'm telling you about the second person of the Godhead. I'm going to tell you about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and give you the true gospel of what we are and what we were by our own choice, by our own free will, the one time we had it, by what we are in this world and what we're guilty and convicted and judged of, and about the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who came into the world and redeemed us and bought us back and promised us life and gave us life and gave us a kingdom. and a hope, an earnest expectation as we live in this world where we yearn, crying, Abba, Father, in our soul, that one day we shall see God. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness. You see these motivational speakers on TV that stand up and smile. The Lord is good. We all love each other. Kumbaya, give me a ribbon to wear. That's not the Word of God. And if you listen to most of them before it's over, they're all talking about a greenback dollar or a piece of gold. The love, not money. Money's a useful tool God made. The love of money is the root of all evil, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now God talks about them, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not in their damnation, slumbereth not. I'll go back to John. Let me go to Jude. Same type of text, same type of subject. I'm not going to spend long on this, but I'll start in verse 3 of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered to the saints. In the day of Pentecost, in the day of Jesus Christ, from the time John the Baptist came preaching, Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the first century, the church as it was in the days of the apostles, the same doctrine they taught, and even in that time, Antichrist were in the world. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Who is he talking about? Deceivers. What's Paul say? Timothy's letters. Deceivers. Wicked men who would seduce you. Who would lead you away from the gospel of God. Why? Well, many of them reprobate concerning the faith and never will know God, for they left their own nature and it has not given them to know God. And many, many, many of them, God's children, who are born of the Spirit and been brought up and taught false doctrine all their life and are carried away in false doctrine. You teach a man something for 40 or 50 years, it's hard to get him away from it. We cannot do that, but God can. Now, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace for God to lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Antichrist. Antichrist. From the time Satan beguiled Eve, Antichrist has been in the world. From that time through the days of Abraham, through the days of the nation of Israel and the Judean service where God had placed His worship service to be, and even today, little children, it is the last time we're living the day of Christ. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, read the book of Acts, are there many Antichrists whereby we know, we were told they were coming. We were told all through Scripture. By their, the very fact that they're here is evidence we live in the last days. We live in the days of Christ. Before I leave this text, let me try to remember and give you something else. God help me. Now what I'm about to tell you is Scripture and church history. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but God called me to preach. I hope and pray. That's what I believe and feel like because it burns in my bones. We preach good things. We preach hard things. It's all the Word of God, and every bit of it from beginning to end is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In this prophecy of what would be by this same Apostle John, in Revelation 17, he talks about a beast that thou sawest and was, thou sawest was, it used to be, and it is not, it was gone at that time, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. You read the 9th and 10th verses, you'll see by the hills that surrounded Rome, he's talking about Rome. He's talking about the nation of Rome. But rather, in fact, he is not talking about the nation of Rome only. And there was in Rome those as Nero who heavily persecuted God's people and burned them at the stake. But he's talking, yea, rather, I'll give you a verse of Scripture, and this is church history. Please bear with me. I'm about to tell you what every single one of our church fathers from not too long ago, all the way back into England and beyond that, taught and believed. 2 Thessalonians, Paul talks about a man of dissent. He said in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let's go back now to Revelation 17. That which was and is not, yet shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That means destruction. Every single one of our church fathers, before we were called Old Baptists, when we were called Anabaptists, back before all of that, they all believed that we're speaking of the Pope in Rome. You read church history and you understand the Pope declared he had the power to forgive sins. Only one has power to forgive sins on earth, and that is Jesus Christ. For a price of money or a price of gold, your sins were forgiven by this man who sat in Rome. And also they would sell indulgences. If you would come, that's where Jude says, talks about the lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God. If you would come to the Pope and you would give him so much money or so much gold or so much silver, you could go live like the dirtiest dog on earth and indulge for a time, and the Pope would forgive you. Now that is what our church fathers say. This text is dealing with plural antichrist. The Pope was not around. The church was beginning to have different factions in the book of Acts. John's the last apostle, which brings us to the other view of the last days. These are the last days of the apostles. The church that God established when he manifested the power of God and the outpouring of His Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and 2. The apostles, the preaching of the gospel, the persecution of the church, the gifts they had to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to speak in tongues. All that was gone. There was none left but John. The last days of the apostles. And again, as Paul said, that upon his departing, grievous wolves should enter in among you. John is given warning to the children of God of the Antichrist. What is the most important thing to us in the church? The doctrine, the doctrine, the doctrine. If I wanted music, I'd go back to Moody and go to one of those new thing churches with praise and worship teams and guitars and pianos and all that sort of stuff. And I got no problem with a piano or guitar, but it's not to be in the house of God because the Lord didn't put it there. I don't want to hear how good I am. I'm a sinner, condemned and convicted of my very own sin. And yet I have a hope in me of Jesus Christ, and that tells me that God loves me. Hallelujah! Sing praise! Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists coming from Satan, whereby we know that it is the last time. Catch this. They went out from us. There was nowhere else to come from. This was the church that Christ founded. Certain men crept in unawares. Some people want to join the church for fame. Some people want to join the church for power. Some people want to join the church for money. Some people want to join the church because of them, because of themselves. A child of God, born of the Spirit of God, comes to the church in true repentance because God hath granted it, and they want to sing praise to and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, and they assemble to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and they come here wanting to magnify Christ in their body. They want to glorify the Son of God, knowing full well that we cannot of our own. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Do you catch that? Did you catch that? If they were of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now, there's people come and go in the church. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. These people, back to Jude, certain men crept in unawares into the church for whatever reason, fame, power, money, bringing false doctrine. They would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What did Jesus say? I believe Matthew 7. Judge the tree by the fruit it bears. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. If the doctrine is a lie, it's manifest to you, and therefore it's manifested to you that these people John is talking about were anti-Christ, cut and dried, period. This is Bible. Now, there are a lot of God's children carried away in things that are heresy. That does not mean they're heretics. It means a lot of them are deceived. I believe every child of God born of the Spirit has the ability to join the church of God. But due to our nature, I also believe that if God did not add daily and sustain us in His church, then the church would have long since ceased to be. But ye, child of God, hearing the preaching of the gospel, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? Well, God is holy, separate, above from us. The Godhead is holy in heaven, bearing record that He is God. But this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is about Christ, the living Word of God. Ye have an unction, a birth of the Spirit, an anointing of the Spirit from the Holy One, Jesus Christ. From Him, the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will. The same John chapter 5. And you know all things. That's not saying that you know this book from beginning to end. That's not saying you know all things. We stand and debate each other sometimes on texts such as Revelation 21 and 22. And there are a few others that would come to mind if I thought about it for a moment or two. We don't know all things in the sense of knowing everything in the Word of God. When He says, you know all things, He's talking about the Spirit of God reveals unto us the things in Scripture. And that we know God in sincerity and in truth because God has written His law upon our hearts. That law is Christ. The testimony of God is Christ. He's the living Word of God. As I tried to tell you two times in this very short time about the Ark of God, the testament that was within it, that is Christ. It's the Word of God. The living Word. Who gives us understanding from Him. He gave us life. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Comforter. Brings us in remembrance of former things and teaches us of Christ. But it's all in Christ. And it's all from Christ. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should I worship somebody who's here 2,000 years ago?
let somebody kill him. He is the Lord God. If you know that, we can worship. If you don't, I can do nothing for you until you do. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, Jesus Christ, separated, set aside of God, as the Lamb of God, separated, holy, separate, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know all things. I have not written unto you. I want to try to get through with this. Let me move. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. What's he saying? I'm not preaching you the gospel trying to make you believe. I'm not preaching you the gospel trying to give you eternal life. You've already got an unction. You've already been born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, you're already in possession of eternal life, because he that believeth on me shall never die. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. I'm preaching to you, believer. I'm preaching to you, child of God. It's been regenerated and brought into the kingdom of God, been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And you know that no lie is of the truth. He's talking about doctrine, because they're facing great challenge, great lies, winds of doctrine. Christ had ascended to glory. The apostles were dead. John's the only one left. Grievous wolves. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. They had people that denied that God would be in the body of a man. They had people that denied that God became a man. They said Christ was just the same thing today in many places. Was just a man. They denied his deity. They denied his power. They denied his wisdom. They denied his holiness. He was a man. They didn't look to God. They looked to their father Abraham, whom God blessed. And they looked to their father Moses, whom God blessed. Both sinners, just like me. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. What is the Christ? The anointed of God. The man in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. For what purpose? To suffer, bleed, and die. God cannot suffer. God became man. God made you in a body. You sinned in that body. That body's condemned to death and hell. Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, came into this world in a body and suffered our suffering and paid our sacrifice and paid our debt in that body. That body was laid in the new tomb. That body came forth in 3 days and 3 nights. That body walked upon the face of the earth 40 days, revealing himself to his people that he was alive. He raised it up, and that body ascended back to the right hand of the majesty on high, where he sits today, forever making intercession for the saints. He is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the man. There's some things God cannot do. He cannot suffer as the Father. But when the living Word of God was made flesh, he suffered for the sins of his people. The deity, royalty. I could spend 6 months on this and never get tired of it. The deity of Christ, the Son of God, God himself. Who is a liar? And I'm going to say this before moving on. We might debate on some things like certain verses of Scripture, but I'll tell you what we never debate on. We never debate on the fact that Christ is God, the second person of the Godhead manifest in the flesh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is all, he is everything, and there is no more. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, let me back up. Who's a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Anybody denies the work of Christ He's an Antichrist. He's controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. You look at Islam, they portray Christ as a weakling, as a man that was a prophet, and very probably a good prophet, but below their pedophile prophet, Muhammad. I'm going to tell you something. That's heresy, you know it. It's a lie, you know it. It's blasphemous, and you know it. But I'm going to tell you this, and this would make a lot of people turn away. God's got a people from every people. So God's got a people in Islam. They'll be delivered from it at some point or another. It may be at the point of death. It might be tomorrow when they are walking alone somewhere and Christ touches them. But God will. God will. And God does work His way in heaven and earth. And every one of His from every walk of life and every people will be quickened. Where was I? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. If you don't know Christ, you do not belong to God, or you're not yet born of the Spirit. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. If you know Christ, then you are a child of God. You've been born of the Spirit of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Just make it plain and evident and try to get through this. How precious to know the truth. It's not, Lord, I went to a police Bible study one time. They had this man, rough, hard-nosed police. He's dead now, God bless him. I loved him to death. Worked for the city of Bessemer. They all got around him and laid hands on him like the Bible says. And they prayed, Lord, he's trying to receive you. Help him, Lord, help him. All you got to do is receive him. Why are you having to pray? He has to receive him. This is nonsense. About the last one I went to. If you know the Son, then you are a child of the Father. The Son is your brother. You're graven. You are graven on His hand. That is the doctrine we teach because it is Bible truth. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. Now we can go back to the beginning of time, or we can go to the beginning of the gospel. If that which ye have heard, the gospel, from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and the Father. See there, if you don't walk in it, you're going to go to hell. No, 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 no. If you continue to walk in the gospel, you walk in peace with Christ and the knowledge of Christ. If you fall, He picks you up. He carries you. He loves you. He will not forsake you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are, male, female, black, white, Asian, Indian, does not matter. If you are God's child, He loves you. Well, you cannot, you will not ever finally fall away. I don't care how you live in this world. You're bought, you're paid for in Christ. What he's talking about here is walking in gospel obedience, walking in peace with God, in the knowledge of God. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. God who cannot lie. If you know God, if you love God, you are born of the Spirit of God. You cannot be unborn, period. You will see God in heaven and spend the realm of eternity praising Him. These things, catch this, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. You know, Steve mentioned last week, may have been talking about Peter. Bring you in remembrance. Bring you in remembrance. That's what John's doing. He's giving them a remembrance of the gospel. He's confirming the gospel. Acts said Paul went about confirming the gospel. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, because they will lead you astray. They will cast fear in your heart and your eyes and your mind. But have no fear, for Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He has bought you. He redeemed you. He's delivered you. He delivers you daily. He will take you to heaven and immortal glory. And there you will reign with Him forever. Next chapter, we're going to see where we'll see Him as He is and His glory. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. You were born of the Spirit of God. It abides in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be lost. I've heard people debate Saul. I'm not talking about Saul of Tarsus, King Saul, way back there. You know, it was once said, when I was a child, it was taught pretty often. I don't know why it was. I was young, but it was taught. Not here, not in amongst true doctrine. But it was taught in the world that you killed yourself, committed suicide, you were straight bound to hell because you couldn't repent from it. What foolishness. Christ died for you. There is nothing greater than the blood of Christ. It covers your sin. I don't care what you do. You pick a sin. I don't care what it is. Sins of flesh, sins of power, sins of murder, sins of hatred, sins of violence. The most putrid things in the world that we're all capable of by our nature. But by the grace of God, we have an unction in Christ. We have a desire in Christ. So we're led apart from that. But you're promised eternal life, and then nothing can take it away. This anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. It's there. It will never go away. If we turn and walk down the dark alley, the light may be hidden for just a little while. But it's always there. God sometimes will suffer us to fall. God sometimes will punish us by suffering us to get bruised and beat up and kicked and persecuted of our own self and our own flesh. But the time will come that that will be satisfied and God will bless us. The anointing which you have received of Him, Christ, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. What does He say? You don't need me to preach and teach you the gospel to have this anointing. You don't need me to preach you the gospel to teach you all things, for the Holy Spirit does that. Now, there's a purpose in preaching the gospel. I'm not belittling that. God, don't you, forgive me, don't you ever think that's what I'm saying. We are commanded to preach the gospel. That is how God calls His people to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. But John is making the point with all their false doctrine. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You don't need a man to lead you off in some strange doctrine to teach you something. You've got the truth of God inscribed within you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the truth. He reveals unto us the power of God, the love of God, the compassion of God to His people and is no lie. And even as it hath, because you're already born of the Spirit, if you have a desire to know these words and worship God, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. You're born of the Spirit of God, very plainly. It cannot be taken away. He will abide in you, and ye shall abide in Him. You cannot sin enough to fall away from God. Period. 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 And now, little children, abide in Him, walk in the gospel, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before at His coming. The elect of God, when the Son of God comes into the Son of Man, I'm sorry, that's important to note in Matthew 25:31. The Son of Man, God in the body, Christ in the body of man. The Son of Man shall appear, and He shall gather, and He shall separate His sheep from the goats, two different creatures. The sheep shall rejoice,
and praise the Son of God, the King of Kings. And the wicked shall be ashamed and in terror. The devils believe, yet they tremble. The devil in Legion, when Christ appeared, "Thou Son of God, art thou come to torment us before the time?" That day is coming. Every knee shall bow. My knee, your knee, in humble adoration of our Savior, bowing to His in all. We can't even describe, like the Jews, Jah, cannot even say His name, cannot even describe or begin to imagine. Lord have mercy, the King of Kings. But in terror, every knee, the rest, the non-elect, because every knee shall bow, Satan, the devils of hell, and those left in their own state of nature, they'll bow too. They'll bow too, because He is above all. If ye know, this is just so plain and simple. If ye know that He, Jesus Christ, is righteous, and certainly we know that He is. Ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him. The depraved man in his nature cannot turn from sin. Well, what about this sin? What about that sin? We don't have to name them. What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, first of all, sin is sin. It's beneath God. But what's the difference between a sheep and a goat and sin? We can commit the same sin. It's our nature born in us to commit the same sin. But a child of God is in the blood of Christ, no matter his sins and afflictions of Satan. Therefore, he's carried to glory. I don't care what he's done. It goes against many winds of doctrine taught in the world. But it is Bible truth. I wish... I hesitate to say this. I don't mean to be blasphemous. And I fear this may be, but I don't mean it that way. It's out of love and compassion and pity for all of God's children. I wish more of God's people could see that truth. Could see the fact that if somebody's got love in their heart, if they try to walk in righteousness, if they love their neighbor, if they love their wife, if they love their husband, if they love their children, if they love the church, if they love the things of God, they're born of God. They can't fall away. They're secure in Christ.